The Word of God, which is the basis for our meditation this morning, is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, the 5th through the 11th verses. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the Word of God. Dear friends in Christ, St. Paul addresses the faithful Christians in Philippi, and among other things, he urges them, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And that is followed by our text, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he proceeds to describe the humiliation of our Lord in his suffering on the cross. This text is central to the biblical text, teaching that addresses our Lord's humiliation in his suffering on the cross. Everything that we need to put our Lord's suffering and death into the proper perspective is laid out here. Now, in order that we might grasp the impact of our Lord's humiliation and his suffering on the cross, the apostle begins with our Lord's nature. Who is this? Who is this man? And the answer is that he is the Almighty, eternal God of the Most High, the one that John described in his gospel: in the beginning was the Logos, that is, the Word, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, and the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. Paul writes to Timothy, God was manifest in the flesh. And to the Colossians, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So from the beginning to the end, Scripture will only let us think of Jesus as the very God himself. Emmanuel, he is called, God with us. He is nothing less than God. And yet, he is with us in finite human flesh. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And his name shall be called the Mighty God. So, he is God, come into the world in his very form, in his very being. He's the Creator God without beginning, and he is over all eternal, the eternally blessed God. And this one considers it not robbery, that is, it is not presumptuous to claim equality with God, because he has every right to do that, because he is the God of the Most High. And this, of course, astounds and shocks all human rational sensibility. This simply cannot be. All of our reason and senses object. And yet it is proclaimed to the ends of the earth, and it is at the heart and at the root of what God has done for us. And what this Almighty God, our Lord Jesus, has done is even less acceptable to anything but the heart of faith. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What does that mean? In spite of having all power over heaven and earth, over all of the forces of nature, over emperors and kings and wise men, he sets aside his power and he places himself in the likeness of men as a servant and obeys the Father. And he obeys that master who rules all mankind, death. His humiliation was not merely that he was despised and rejected by men, that he was mocked and spit upon by Roman soldiers, and that he was jeered by a motley Jewish crowd. That was humiliating enough. But his humiliation was especially that he did not use his powers against all of those evil forces that were attacking him. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, willingly, without protest. And as Isaiah says, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It was not in itself a humiliation to be made man, for humankind, in its perfect nature, was a divine creation, and God looked upon it and saw that it was good, no less than perfect. And yet, because of the willful disobedience of Adam and Eve and all their descendants, he became one of us in the flesh, laid aside his divine powers in order to suffer as our scapegoat, our substitute, our redeemer, as the sacrifice of atonement. And so you see, wrapped up in this simple little word, humility and humiliation, we see the whole fabric of what places him on the cross of Good Friday. The perfect one of God takes my place, lays aside his divine prerogatives, bears in his sacred body all of my sin, and does not soften that suffering and death that is necessary for all human sin. We might stop there, because that is where Good Friday stops. On the cross, God died. Our Lord, the Almighty God made flesh, is laid in the tomb, having suffered unto death, laid in a grave of a rich man, not of a beggar. But of course, the Apostle Paul doesn't stop there. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. In his death, God gives him peace from his suffering, and he declares this peace to the whole world in our Lord's resurrection. As Paul says, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And thus he is fully honored as the God-man, so that his name, Jesus, Son of Man and Son of God from eternity, is given the highest name over all creation. And once we have dwelt upon these lofty things, our Lord's humiliation and his exaltation, it's very, very difficult for us to put ourselves back where Paul placed us at the beginning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For one thing, this is an impossible task. And once again, I am made profoundly aware of my inadequacy and of my sin and corruption. There is but one way that I can go from such a task with peace and comfort, and that is with the words of St. Paul when he has finished this lofty discourse: "It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." And that places me once again under the grace of God, who has begun this good work in me and will, according to his promise, perfect it, perform it, until the last day when I stand before my exalted Lord in heaven. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God the Father, that you have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have borne in your sacred body all our sins, and by your blood have blotted out all our transgressions. We thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you have created in our hearts true faith, that we know of nothing to trust for our salvation except Jesus Christ and him crucified. O God, grant us your grace that we may perfectly believe that all our sins are forgiven for the sake of the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so enlighten us by your Holy Spirit, that in the power of our Redeemer's death, we may day by day put off sin and never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ until we see him face to face in life eternal. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.